I just want to share briefly a word this morning about faith. One of the things that really touched me when you're there is you see these people that, you know, that they had maybe had some things, but in the end they have absolutely nothing. And in all the end, all they really have to hold on to is God. All they had to hold on was their faith in God and just clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you lose everything, literally, you've lost everything that you own, you've lost every family member, and you're the one person that's left standing. All you really have then is the Lord. And just the faith of those people, that their heart for God, their hunger for God. Yeah, they had many questions. They had a lot of pain, of course, because they're people and they hurt and the reality of all of the horrors and things that they faced. But the thing that really hit me is the faith of these men and women who just really held on to God and hold on to God, and that really stirred something. And I just really want to put a little challenge to us this morning about where our faith is, because sometimes we get overwhelmed, and Paul talks in the scripture about our light and momentary troubles. And when you're going through things are real for us. When we're going through a hard time, our hard times are real. Of course they are. We're struggling, we're in pain, and when we have issues. But I just really want to ask us about that whole issue of faith and really keeping our focus on the Lord when things happen to us. Because it's very easy for us to be caught up in the problems, to be overwhelmed and be diverted by that. But these people really spoke to me when I just saw, despite everything else that they'd gone through, everything that they'd lost, everything that they'd suffered, that they were men and women of faith, and they believed God. They didn't have every answer to every question. Why did they live and their wife was blown up? Why were they? Many, many questions, many things. But despite that, they didn't get caught up in all of that. They just kept on trusting God. They believed God for who He is. It's a good God, a gracious God, and their faith. 2 Corinthians 8:7, it's an interesting little scripture. I'll just quickly read it to us. I want to look at Romans 4 mainly. We won't spend a lot of time this morning. But it talks about excelling in everything. It says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Now, I'm not talking about giving, about excelling in that, but I want to talk about shining in our faith, that we have an excellent faith. And we don't really know what our faith is until we're tested. And sometimes we think, oh, Lord, I thought I had more faith than that. And we go through something and we actually maybe realize that, well, maybe my faith isn't as strong as it should be. Because if I say to you, have you have faith? You'll all say, yeah, I've got faith. Yeah, of course I've got faith, yep. And well, we've got a faith in God, and yet that's our passive faith, that we've saved and we've got an active faith here. We trust Him, we believe Him in His Word. But is our faith an excellent faith? Can you honestly say that your faith is that you're excelling in faith? That, and when push comes to shove, the issues of life, do we have an excellent faith? Are you excelling in faith? And it's a good question, because I was really challenged even in my own faith when I see people who went through so many things, so much heartache. Are you excelling in faith? Can you honestly say, I excel in faith, that my faith is so strong in God? Or are you easily shaken when something happens? You know, maybe you haven't lost your whole family or lost everything that you own or whatever, but, you know, you're going through a difficult time. There's a problem in this relationship. There's financial pressures here. There's an illness in your body. And I know, how strong is our faith? Do we have an excellent faith? And I just want to ask that question to us this morning. Do we really shine in faith? The theme is shining. Well, does our faith shine forth? I've been challenged in my own faith. I believe God would want to challenge all of us in that area of faith. Since you excel in everything in faith, do you have an excellent faith? Because that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to grow in our faith, grow in every area. Yeah, grow in our speech and our knowledge and our love for Him and one another. And yeah, in our giving, all that's great. But also in our faith, He wants us to excel in that. In Luke 18, I'm not going to look at that, just to note that. But Luke 18 is the story of the persistent widow. And you know that story where the widow goes to the judge, and it's about the unjust judge. She goes there and says, you know, look, I want you to solve my problem, pleading her case. And the judge sort of ignores her, and she goes back. She's knocking on the door and say, judge, you know, you've got to fix this situation. Something's not happening. It's not fair. It's not right. The judge just thinks, just go away, woman. I'm busy. And she keeps going back, and she keeps knocking on the door. And this guy says, look, I don't fear God. The judge says that, I don't fear man, that says, well, this widow is driving me absolutely nuts. And because she was persistent, because she's always at the door and never giving up, in the end he gives her what she wants. He gives her the justice that she deserves. Now, it's contrasting for us that we have a God that is not like an unjust judge. He's not one that we have to beg or bash on his door or whatever else. He's a just and loving God. But the point of that whole little story there, it's about persisting in faith and holding in there. Because too often I think the problem is that we get rattled and then we fall. Something happens and we fall, and our faith is something that maybe we can learn to excel in a little bit more. We can really learn to, so that when something happens, we don't drop our bundle, we don't fall apart, we don't run away, we don't give up, we don't whatever, but we hold on. And this persistent widow, and it's saying that we've actually got a God who's a loving God and he's a just God, and it says, you know, God, of course God is going to do that. If we hang in there and we're persistent, God's going to bring justice to us. He will answer the prayer and he'll do it speedily, he'll do it swiftly. But the question he asks in all of that, and that's in verse 8 of that chapter, it'll come up there on the screen, it says that when the Son of Man comes, it says, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? And that's a good question, you know. Will he find faith? It's not about just faith in Jesus. Well, I pray that we have a faith in Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I pray that you will come to learn to know him as your own personal Lord and Savior. But when he's talking about faith, he's saying, will I find that kind of faith when he comes? Will I find a faith that doesn't give up, that is a persistent faith, that, okay, things don't seem to be happening the way that I want it to. I can't explain all of the circumstances and the situation. I don't have all the answers to everything, but Lord, my faith is strong in you, Lord. I trust in you. I trust in who you are. I trust in your word, Lord, and I'm not going to get discouraged, Lord, and I'm not going to give up. Lord, I'm going to have a faith that is strong. I'm going to excel in that area of faith. The story I want to look at this morning quickly, we turn to Romans chapter 4. It'll come up on screen, but the Bible, good to use your Bible. Romans chapter 4, and it's the story of Abraham. Because Abraham was one who's really seen as a father of faith. He's the father of all nations, but he really is a father of faith. And I think we can learn a little lesson from him about having a faith, to excel in the realm of faith. Because as I said, I've been among people that I saw these guys, you know, God healed the hurts and really ministered to them, but they still had a faith, had an excellent faith. And Abraham was one who has a faith. So let's read this, Romans 4, verses 16, excuse me, to 21. Remember, Hebrews tells us, by the way, that without faith it's impossible to please God. You can do everything else well, everything else well. You can love well, you can serve well, you can give well, you can do everything well, but if you don't have faith, you can't please God. So we're going to make sure that faith is not the missing ingredient, because whatever you do without faith, it's not pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we want to be people that shine in our faith. Romans 4, it says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. The scripture says that we are Abraham's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, and he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And it's a remarkable story of Abraham. You find that he has a promise of God. Lord comes, he makes a promise to him. You're going to be the father of many nations. He's about 86. His wife, Sarah's about, she would have been about 75 at the time, trying to be a mother for maybe 60 years. So they would have been married about 15, 16. 60 years not having a child, 60 years of trying to have a child. And you're 100. You couldn't have a child for 60 years. Things are getting on. You're probably beginning to think, well, this something is never really going to happen. God comes and he makes this promise to Abraham. And it's interesting because it says in this initial covenant, the first promise, this is Genesis 15, 16 and 17. We don't have time to look it all up. But in the initial promise, God says to him, it says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had faith in God. It was credited to him as righteousness. After that, then you have the episode where you have Sarah who thinks, well, I better get some things moving along here, gives Hagar to Abraham and says, go, you know, have a child through him. So Abraham does. We have Ishmael being born. And then subsequently the angels come, and again that word is spoken over Abraham. The covenant God has made with him about being father of many nations, and also says to Sarah, you're actually going to be a mother of many nations as well. And then they say within 12 months you're going to have a child. So 99, Sarah's over 90, but praise God, there's a miracle. The baby actually comes along, and quite a remarkable little story in the Bible. But it's a few things that we can learn. It talked about the promise of God. See, many of us are here waiting for God's promises. God, you promised me this. Your word says this. Lord, you promised me this. You promised me. And some are just waiting for it to happen. Well, God's promised it. I'm just going to wait for it to happen. But I'll tell you what, you're going to be waiting a long, long time, because it says that the promise, it says in the scripture, it says this promise, it comes by faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. And many people are waiting for promises of God, maybe words that are even in the scripture or even words prophetically spoken over your life. However, God has said something to you and you're just waiting for it to happen. But I'll tell you, you're going to be waiting a long, long time unless you put faith in the mix. The promise only comes by faith. And that's why Abraham was one who actually apprehended those promises of God, because he actually put faith in the mix. And if we don't put faith in there, one, you don't please God, but it's not going to happen. Our faith must be actively engaged in the promises of God for those things to come to pass. No faith, no promise. And so we need to have faith. Abraham was commended one as seen as a father of faith, because he actually had the promise of God, but then he engaged his faith and he saw God do a miracle, what was totally impossible. You can't. Sarah, 90 years of age, and she has a baby. Quite a remarkable. He's 100. And he has a child. She couldn't have a child for so many years. It was 13 years after Ishmael that eventually Isaac comes along on the scene. But he believed the promise. And many of us, I think, are holding on to promises, but we're not actually engaging our faith. And part of the challenge is to excel in faith, is we want to actually engage that. Know the promises of God, but with the line with the promise, really to begin to engage our faith. Otherwise, you'll be waiting a long time. But Abraham actually engaged his faith. Now, there was a delay, even with faith. There was a time period before that unfolded. And so faith doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen today. But without faith, it's not going to happen at all. And so we need to have that faith, that story, the persistent. We don't know. It will happen. And there's the assurance and the promise of the Lord. You just hang in there. But you've got to put your faith into action. Abraham did that. And it's an important aspect of receiving the promises of God. So you might be sitting on a promise here. And you may be claiming something, but your faith needs to be activated in it. And that comes from knowing who God is, knowing his heart, and knowing what he can and will do, God's heart towards us. Second thing about it is, seeing this, is that it says in the scripture, it says that he didn't deny the fact that his body was as good as dead. He faced the fact that his body was good as dead. And faith is reality. Faith is not some super positive thinking. You know, the worst possible, to me, an absence of faith is you pray for someone and they say, yes, I'm healed, and then they go hobbling off. Praise God, my leg's healed. Well, to me, that's not faith. That, to me, is quite silly. You're facing the facts. He faced the fact that his body was good as dead. Faith is not living in denial. And that's why some unbelievers look at Christians who have a funny, fluffy kind of faith, and they think, well, Christians are all lunatics, they're all nutcases, because they're saying all this stuff, but they're not facing the reality, they're living in denial. And unbelievers will see that and look at Christians and say, well, you've got denial, you guys are loopy, you know. And because what happens is that we're trying to think positive, but we're not actually engaging our faith. But we've got to look at the facts. The reality is, if you're sick, you're sick. If you're in a financial situation, you have a financial situation. If there's a relationship problem, you have a relationship problem. And just face it fair on. Look it full on. You've got to face the facts. This is the situation that I'm in. Don't pretend it's not there. It's there. If you're in it, you look at it, the reality of the circumstances. And Abraham did that. He looked at square on. Well, look at me. I'm an old, frail man. My wife has been unable to have a child for all of these years. And he faced it square on, the reality. Faith looks at realities, but it also then looks beyond the realities and begins to see the way that God sees things. But don't live in fantasy land. Live in faith land. Look at things as they are and then begin to see who God is in the situation and God's heart for us. It says that he did not waver in unbelief. So he looked at the facts. But see, the trouble is quite often we look at the facts and our faith goes out the window. For us, it's almost like faith and fact are two different things. I can't have faith and look at the facts. But actually, you can't have faith without looking at the facts. If you don't acknowledge the reality of the situation that we're facing, you can never actually have faith. You can pretend, oh, no, it's not really like that, and I'm not really this, and I'm not... No, you are. That's the situation. Face it squarely, but then look, and then you can actually have faith. Because faith is dealing with realities. It's not dealing with fantasy. Remember the scripture in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance, the evidence, the solid thing of things hoped for. And so you've got to see things as they are in the reality, but then see also in faith. And Abraham was able to look at it, but did not waver. Too often we look at the reality of it, and faith goes out the window. Faith and facts for us, we can't seem to handle them both. But actually, Abraham could handle that. He could see that, but did not waver in it. The reality is, I can't have a child. I'm 100. My wife's now pushing 90. And originally, when the promise came, he was actually only 86, actually, at that time when the initial promise came. And he believed God. And so let's look at the reality of life. And because it's a bad witness when we're living in denial. But no, this is the situation. But despite that, these people have lost everything. They've lost every member of their family. But they're standing. They faced that reality, a horrible reality. But their faith was unwavering and they're keeping their eyes and the focus on the Lord. But how often do we just dump it? We just get overwhelmed, we give up, and we struggle. But there's something that we can learn from Abraham that didn't waver in unbelief. And unbelief is where we really forget who God is. We forget the heart of God for us. We forget that God is a good God. And we read that at communion. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate God. He's slow to anger. He's a heart for us. He's a gracious, caring, loving God. And too often we forget that. And we forget that God has a heart to us. And not only does God have his heart for us, but if we've got a promise of God, we've got to hold on to the promise. Too often we look at the fact and then we forget the promise. We say, well, hang on, this fact, promise. And then our eyes forget the promise and we're just looking at the fact now. Well, God really says, well, hang on a minute, just, okay, yeah, there's the facts, but don't forget, there's the promise. And that's really where you've got to look. If you want faith to come, you've got to be looking to the promise. Acknowledge the fact, but look to the promise. What we do is we look to the facts and we forget the promise and then we struggle and say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. This is so difficult. This is not fair. It's not right or whatever else. But we just need to look back and say, no, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on the promise. And Abraham did that and he didn't waver in unbelief. We waver when we go from promise, fact. No, well, we can see the fact, but know the fact, yeah, but I'm not wavering. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. And we need to do that. Many of you are holding on to promises. Some aren't denying the reality of the situation. Maybe there's some, though, that are not able to focus now on the promise because the fact is so overwhelming that the promise seems to fade. But let's keep our eyes on the promise of God. And certainly Abraham did that. And it says at the end of this passage that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. So even in the midst of the facts, we give glory to God. We say, God, you're a wonderful God. And some people, you know, think, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm suffering. Well, I'm never going to say thank you for suffering. Afterwards, I might look back and say, Lord, well, that was hell, but okay, I praise God you did something in my life. But I never want to suffer. I don't want to have to suffer. And so I'm not glorying in the suffering, but I'm giving glory to God despite the suffering, despite what we go through. And that's what I saw these people do, that totally, they still were able to worship God, still love him. No hint of bitterness. He had many questions and lots of some pain, but still loving God with all their heart and glorifying God with every part of their being. And that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. Yeah, there's facts. I have to deal with that. I have to live with that. But I'm going to glorify God. And as we glorify God, and that's when faith is built, that's when faith is strengthened. And maybe you're one that is really struggling. Well, okay, yeah, there's a promise with the facts, and you're wavering, and you're just taking your eyes off the Lord, so overwhelmed. But just glorify God for who He is. And it's such a wonderful, powerful thing. It's a liberating thing. If you can honor God and worship Him, love Him for who He is. You might have some questions. Well, forget the questions, Lord. I know who You are. I know You are God. I know that You love me. I know that You're a compassionate God. I know You're a gracious God. I know that You're looking out for me, Lord. I know that You love me. I know that You care for me, Lord. I know that You're there for me, Lord. I know that You're faithful. I know that You're not going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. And you begin to glorify God. And all of those things, you find that faith really begins to rise and grow in your heart. And then you find that that promise, yeah, Lord, I can really believe that this promise because I believe in who You are. I believe You are the God of Your word. And Lord, I'm going to stand. I'll acknowledge the facts, but I'm going to stand in the promise because of who You are and because of what You're doing in my life. And it says in the end of that, He says He was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what He promised. Fully persuaded that God had the power to do. Again, sometimes we struggle as we come down to the level of our own devices. So I don't know how am I going to solve this? How am I going to do this? You know, it's too hard. God, help me trying to solve this. When really saying, God, look, I'm going to take a step back and honor You in this, Lord, and I'm just going to see You do a mighty thing. I'm going to engage. I'm going to hold on to the promise. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm not going to go hide somewhere. Lord, I'll do what I can. But Lord, I'm going to trust You and I'm going to believe in You and being fully persuaded. And to be fully persuaded means no one will talk you out of that. A doctor will not talk you out of that. A well-meaning friend will not talk you out of that. Your own experience will not talk you out of that. What happened before or didn't happen before, or where you felt let down or disappointed or whatever, none of those things will affect someone that is fully persuaded. Nothing, no one, nothing can change that. Doesn't matter what anyone says, doesn't matter what anyone does, you're fully convinced, you're fully persuaded. And such what Abraham was. Sarah wasn't. When the angels came and said that, she sort of laughed and thought, oh yeah. But he was fully persuaded. And that's the kind of faith that God wants to stir even in our hearts. God has given us a promise and He is fully, be fully persuaded. He's got the power to do that. And if we do that, then we will see God bring the answer. Because God doesn't make false promises. God doesn't do things, He's not a cruel God who would promise us one thing and then take it away from us and then watch us struggling and striving and in despair because it never happened. God isn't that kind of God. He's a loving God. But are we fully persuaded? Are we full power to believe that He will do what He has promised? And to really grow in that area of faith. Know the promises of God. What has God promised us? Yeah, face the fact. Look, this is the fact. You cannot deny the reality of it. This is the reality. Some people even struggle because they don't even want to face reality. Well, sometimes reality is painful. Sometimes reality hurts. But you face, well, this is the reality of the situation. But despite the reality of this, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to honor Him for who He is. I'm going to honor God because He's a great and mighty God. And faith is strengthened, born in your own heart. And He focuses on the promise, not the problem. And we just see God moving in a powerful way. So let's stand. I want to pray for that for us today. That God will stir you in your faith. Maybe you've held out the promise, but you've really struggled on that. Maybe the problem has become the focus to such an extent that the promise is lost in the translation. So, Father, we just come before You now. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this wonderful family, Lord. I thank You for Grow Church. Father, thank You for each and every one of them, Lord, for their love for You, Lord, and their faithfulness, Lord, in so many things, in so many ways. But, Father, this whole area of faith, Lord, as a people, Lord, we just don't want to be good at faith. Lord, we want to excel in faith, Lord. We want to have an excellent faith, Father. We want to shine in the realm of faith. And so, Father, we come before You. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we just grab a hold of the promises of God. Lord, that we grab a hold of who You are, Lord, the wonderful God, the compassionate God, Lord, who not only loves us, not only cares for us, and not only has a plan for us, but, Lord, has the power to and the will to bring that about, Father. I pray, Lord, help us to realign, Lord, to retune, to readjust our thoughts, our thinking, our focus, Lord, that we be people of faith. Father, I pray, Lord, even in the midst of facing reality, Lord, that we will glorify You, Lord. Lord, that we will honor You and declare, my God is a good God. My God is a gracious God. He's a compassionate God. My God is on my side. My God will stand with me. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He is a faithful God. And Lord, let every heart begin to proclaim that, Lord, and we grab a hold of that promise. And Lord, know that you have the power to bring it about. Father, stir faith in our hearts. Lord, those that are struggling, Lord, we're overwhelmed by this situation, Lord, but when we put it in context to others, maybe our problems don't seem so big. But Lord, they're still there. And Father, I pray, Lord, that faith will rise in every heart. Lord, we want to be a people of faith. Lord, we don't want to live by what we see. We want to live by who we know, Lord, that you're the God who caused things that are not as if they were. And so, Father, sometimes we don't see things, but Father, we know, Lord, that you're calling it into being because we're children of the promise. So, Father, we hold on to that. Father, I pray for anyone that is struggling, Lord. They're just seeing their faith has become a little shipwrecked. Father, they've just struggled for so long, Lord. They don't feel like we can, like that weirdo, and knock on the door again. Father, I pray, Lord, faith is rising in every heart this day. And Father, as we come to you, Lord, that we're going to be touched of you this day. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Let faith rise in every heart. I pray that in Jesus' name. Touch our hearts, Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. So we're just going to worship the Lord. If you need some prayer this morning.